Good morning, Oklahoma. It is not the Monster's Eye, the Latvian Missile. Josh Kopelman with a quick hit special Saturday episode. I'll be on till 11 o'clock when Unsportsmanlike Conduct takes charge with the crazy morning animals. 12:30 is the OSU pregame show. 3:30 is the OU pregame show. And then after both of the games, we'll have an OSU pregame show and an OU pregame show. So stay tuned to the Sports Animal all day long. Got a lot to talk about today. 10 o'clock. I'm going to give you some Thunder stats. Something that you need to know about the Thunder that no one's talked about yet, and it's going to be a pretty good sign, so you guys are going to want to hear that. We'll talk a lot of NBA at the 10 o'clock hour. This hour, though, is going to be mostly college football. I'm going to be ripping Mike Gundy at 9:25 or something. I can't stand it. It's one of my pet peeves. Coaches do it all the time, and I just can't stand it. But first, I'm going to talk about the SEC this week's slate. And I'm going to bring in my producer, Tyler Moore. Tyler, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great this Saturday. How about you, Missile?
Doing good, man. So, tell me this. I'm out there. I tell people you can follow me
on Twitter
at Latvian Missile. And I do retweet anyone that says anything nice about the show. That's just the way I work. I mean, I can easily be bribed. But I'm looking on Twitter today, and I see the notification for followed, and it says Tyler Moore 22 followed me.
Yep, I had to make a new Twitter account, and Twitter changed their ways where you can't pick your username anymore. You just put your first name in there, and it picks it for you.
Okay, I didn't realize you made a new Twitter account. I thought after, what was it, like 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, whenever we did the show, that's right, I wasn't following you before. Okay, my bad. I thought what happened was you picked out a Twitter account. You just didn't follow me after I told everyone to follow you at, what is it, at Tyler Moore 22?
272, yeah, 272.
272. Tyler Morse just sound exactly like you think. It's spelled exactly like you think it would. Told everyone to follow you, and I thought you didn't follow me back at all.
Nope. I had to make a new Twitter account, and so I'm trying to get my followers right back up and put my sports opinions out there for anybody that wants to criticize me.
There you go. It's all out there. It is all out there. So anyway, it's pretty warm in studio today. I know the OU post game show. Most of the OU pre and post game show is going to be about how cold the weather is. Because Kansas, there's nothing exciting about Kansas other than Les Miles getting hired there,
which is big news. I didn't think Les Miles would ever go to Kansas.
I gotta wonder. I mean, they better be paying him a lot of money. I haven't seen any of the terms on that deal, but I was honestly, you know, all week you're thinking about the show. What are you going to talk about? And I thought I was going to talk almost no Kansas. Les Miles getting hired is interesting. I think this puts Kansas back to where they'll at least be a decent team. They'll be going to bowl games. I think Les Miles is good enough for that. I think he got a bad deal at LSU.
Yeah.
You remember what happened, right?
Yeah.
When they fired him, the year they fired him. And I say this a lot about coaching fires. You fire them, and I think Pat Jones has also said this. When you fire a coach, you fire them after your tough stretch of games, when you got an easy stretch coming up, that way you don't look like an idiot.
Yeah, kind of like what OU did with Mike Stoops.
Yeah. Yeah, your team doesn't tank. Exactly. And remember, I said that.
Yep.
I mentioned that right away. I said that OU defense is going to look good and they're still going to get lit. And people are coming after me, like on Twitter, like, oh, they didn't play that bad against Tech. And no one is standing up for the OU defense after that performance last week. This week will be another good performance because they're playing Kansas. But I think Les Miles is a good hire there. He's turned around every program he's been with. He started the ascension of Oklahoma State, if you remember that. He was really good at LSU. He won a national title at LSU. And when he was fired, they started out 1-2. Remember, they lost to Auburn by like 10 points. And it was a year we had thought that Auburn wasn't a good team. Well, that was the year Auburn went to the Sugar Bowl. And OU beat him. And Les Miles got fired because he lost to Auburn. He lost to a pretty good Wisconsin team that year, too, to start the season. And then LSU went on a roll because their schedule was easier. I mean, hey, Ogeron was not as good as he was last. Did not have a great season last year. This season, they've been good. There's no doubt about that. He's had a great season, so maybe it works out for him. But I don't think anything's changed with LSU. So my point is, when you get a good coach, stick with him. Because Kansas hasn't been relevant since Mark Mangino.
Yeah, that's very true. And they've had a better season than usual this year. So maybe they're about to put more effort into their football program and not all into the basketball program anymore. And it'll make it more interesting in the Big 12.
That is something that is interesting. Kansas is renovating their stadium, and it's by far the worst stadium in the Big 12 right now. I've been to all of them, sat in the stands, which, by the way, if you're going and you're ranking the stadiums, sit in the stands. This is more for riders that are listening, because I know there are some. Sit in the stands of the stadium before you rank them, because it does no good if you're in the press box for free where everything's easier, going through the media tunnel. You know, you have a shuttle to the game. If not, you have a parking pass already. You're not sitting in the stands by some strangers. You're in the press box. It's a little easier for the stadium to look nicer when you do that. So if you're going to rank the stadiums, actually go and sit in the stands of the stadium. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's very fair. It's very fair.
I've only been to one UCO game, and I sat in the press box, and it was a really nice stadium as far as I know, because I sat right in the press box.
Right. It's a little different in the press box. Now, UCO, I've never been up there, but I'm sure it's you got a lot of space up there. So speaking of Les Miles and LSU, I wanted to talk a little SEC football. Tyler, if you were ranking the top conferences in the country, what's the number one conference this season? Who's the best conference?
This season, the best conference has to be the SEC.
SEC. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Why is the SEC at the top of the conference? If we go best conferences every single year, why are they at the top? There's a couple reasons. I'm going to explain it. I want you guys to listen. Everyone that sits there and complains about the SEC, there's a lot of you out there. There's a lot of people out there that complain, well, the SEC, why is it that when they beat each other up, it's because they're a tough conference, and when the Big 12 beats each other up, they're not any good? Or, you know, they pick out the worst parts of the SEC or something like that. They're going, Alabama hadn't played nobody. But you want to know why, and this is for you. This is for all you people that think that. Why is the SEC up there? Because they game the system. Number one, they get the better recruits. That helps. Recruiting's the number one thing in college football. If you're going to be good, it's the number one thing. Ask any coach. They will all tell you the same thing. You know what every single coach says? You can't win without talent.
Yep.
You can't. It's impossible. And the SEC is always up there in the recruiting rankings. And recruiting rankings are huge because if you don't get a top 10 recruiting ranking, you're not likely to win. And within 4 years, you're not going to be winning a national title. No one's done it since 2000 Oklahoma. And that's when recruiting services were just starting up, too. So, besides recruiting, what else they do? They game the system. There are two types of people. The people that follow the rules exactly how it should be, and the guys that use it to take advantage of it. The SEC is the second guy. The guy that's going to take advantage, doesn't care if he screws people over. Here's what they're doing this week. They're playing against some of the worst teams. Here's you want to know the SEC schedule this week. Alabama playing the Citadel. Florida playing Idaho. Kentucky playing Middle Tennessee State. Arkansas, Mississippi State, Missouri, Tennessee, your conference games this week. Georgia's playing UMass. Auburn's playing Liberty. Texas A&M's playing UAB, which is a sneaky tough game. UAB's 17-point dog. They might be able to cover that. A&M's doesn't have a lot of firepower. UAB kind of does. They might be able to cover that. That's a sneaky good game. Rice playing LSU this week. Vanderbilt Ole Miss conference game, and then Chattanooga, South Carolina. You know what all these games do? All those non-conference games do for the SEC, Tyler?
Absolutely nothing for them.
No. It does something, and it's something that's better than people really give it credit for. It gives them a free win. Free! That's as soon as you pass go, collect $200. Free parking, win that money. It's Monopoly stuff. Free win. So what does that do? When everyone has a win, when teams like, let's say Auburn, who's kind of struggled a little bit this year, or a team like South Carolina, who's going to finish 7-5, something along those lines, and Florida and Kentucky. Kentucky's going to get to 10 wins now. Do you know why? And they play Louisville next week. You know why Kentucky's going to get to 10 wins? Because they get to play an easy non-conference schedule. Here's the Kentucky non-conference schedule. And I don't blame Kentucky because they're never any good. No one, not even the Wildcats, knew they're going to be this good. Central Michigan, Murray State, Middle Tennessee State, and Louisville, who ended up being terrible, which they probably wouldn't have thought that. But of those four games, only one of them was losable before the season. And now it's not because we know Louisville's horrible. horrible team. That's going to be a 10-win Kentucky team. They were getting three free wins in their non-conference schedule because the SEC plays eight conference games. They're smarter than everyone. And people could sit there and complain about how, oh, the SEC just schedules easy teams this week. It hurts them. No, it doesn't. It absolutely helps them. Because what are some of the things the committee says? When we sit there with the playoff committee and they say things, they talk to Reese Davis, or who is it? Is it Reese Davis, Chris Fowler? Does the playoff interview? I think it's Reese Davis. It doesn't really matter. Either way, they say the same thing no matter who it is. What are some of the things they talk about?
They don't put two lost teams in the playoffs.
Right. Right. But what does the committee say when they're talking about, when they look at teams, what are they talking about? They're talking about
strength of schedule.
Schedule strength a little bit. And that's kind of game two by this, because everyone else gets a win, so it makes your team look stronger. Because we look at a 9-3 team different than an 8-4 team. If Missouri or if Kentucky would have played, let's say, Washington State, and Washington State would have beat them, we're not looking at Kentucky like they're a better team. We'd be looking at them better because they played the easier schedule. I mean, people might say, oh, they played an easy schedule, but people are still taking the loss against them. The loss hurts more than a bad win does. Bad wins don't hurt you at all. People want to say that it does. It really doesn't all that much as long as you play well inside your conference, in the sense of it doesn't hurt you that much, in the sense of it makes your conference stronger. So Kentucky is going to be a 10-win team because of this easy non-conference schedule, and that makes every win over Kentucky look better. So Georgia gets elevated. Whoever else beat Kentucky gets elevated. Who beat them? Tennessee. Although Tennessee is not any good, but that makes Tennessee look better because they beat Kentucky, a Kentucky team. The higher win percentage within your conference, the better you look. And the SEC plays eight conference games. You get four non-conference games. And the people that say, oh, the SEC just plays easy schedule and it hurts them, they shouldn't do that. Well, you know what? Other conferences should follow suit. You shouldn't just be there condemning the SEC. Well, that's not fair. So what? They don't care. And why should they care? Okay. This is like, say we're in a race, Tyler. You want to run a race against me. I'd probably beat you.
Yeah, probably.
I'm faster than you. Yeah, I'm pretty fast.
Probably.
Now, say if I was on a bicycle and you were running, who would win?
I'd win.
Would you sit there and be like, oh, that's not fair? Or would you go out there and you grab a bike?
I would go grab a bike and I would try to make it a fair race.
Exactly. Exactly. In conferences like the Pac-12, who's getting left out of the playoffs this year? The Big 12, who could be getting left out of the playoffs again this year? Looks like it's pretty likely. They're going to need some help. They're going to need some help. The Big Ten also, they went to 9 conference games because they don't know what they're doing. They're a Michigan loss away from getting left out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's very possible.
They're a Michigan loss away. Or a Georgia win in the SEC title game away from being left out of the playoffs. I think Bama's in. We'll get to that in just a couple minutes. The SEC and the ACC both play 8 conference games. They inflate their schedule. They make their teams look better, because it's a smarter thing to do. And the Big 12, everyone playing everyone, hurts the conference. People are talking about, all right, West Virginia, how are they going to get in the playoffs? Or would they get in, say, Ohio State, who do you think would get in the scenario? Ohio State beats Michigan and Northwestern, and they beat Maryland today. West Virginia smokes Oklahoma State, beat Oklahoma in Morgantown, beat Oklahoma in Arlington. Who's in?
Ohio State.
Ohio State. Why?
Because I don't think the committee will, at the Big 12 championship game, if they play Oklahoma back-to-back, they're not going to give it the same respect as Ohio State would, beating Michigan.
You're right. You're saying what I'm saying, but what I was going to say, but in different words. Where does OU end up in that scenario? Where are they going to be ranked? If they lose to West Virginia in Morgantown, say they're 6, no one else loses, West Virginia 7, wherever, or 9, whatever they're at. West Virginia beats OU in Morgantown. Where does OU drop to?
10, 12, somewhere.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Then they lose again in the conference championship. Where do they drop to?
Committee
hasn't shown that it shows that much, but they've dropped 11 or 12 probably, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you don't have a top 10 win for West Virginia if they win back-to-back games. Texas or Iowa State, one of them's going to lose, but they both end up being top 25 teams at the end of the year. So have 3 top 25 wins. Ohio State, if they're in this scenario, they'd have wins over Michigan, Northwestern. Who else is ranked in the Big Ten? Penn State. I don't know if Michigan State's going to be ranked or not by that time. but whoever else is, and they'd have that bad loss to Purdue as well. And the committee has shown they care more about who you beat rather than who you lost to. And you can sit there and say, well, Ohio State lost by 29 to Purdue. Okay, they did. But West Virginia lost by 3 scores to Iowa State. And is that as bad of a loss? No, it's not. No, it's not. Absolutely not. But Ohio State's going to have more quality wins. They have more teams, wins against teams above 500. That's another stat the committee looks at. I meant to mention that earlier. That's what they look at, too, with the SEC gaming the system. Wins against teams 500 or better. That's another thing they look at. And by everyone playing everyone in the Big 12, it hurts them. It absolutely hurts them in that scenario. So they need to go to 8 games, have another free win. And it absolutely stinks if you're a college football fan on the outside looking in. These games stink. You excited to see OU play Kansas this week?
No, I'm not.
Absolutely not. Were you excited to see OSU play Kansas?
No. Nope.
No. By the way, every time we're on, OSU has like a decent home game. We've been on for OSU Texas.
And then OSU West Virginia.
Remember, we called that OSU West Virginia. We'll talk about that game too, get the predictions on that. We've agreed both times so far. We'll see if that keeps up. But the Big 12 is getting left behind because they have the round robin schedule, and I get that they're making a bunch of money and they don't want to get away from 10 teams, and that's fine. But just have one game. Everyone just has one team they don't play because there's a conference championship anyway. So that way, if it's OU West Virginia not playing, well, then they play in the conference championship. I mean, and then it's only one loss that you're giving your opponent instead of two. It's the same thing for OU. If West Virginia, especially if West Virginia loses this game, I mean, OU's not going to have a top 10 win if they win back-to-back. That hurts them. That hurts them. It's OU Ohio State. That's going to be a really close one. Because Ohio State's going to get the better win, but I think OU would get in there just because they're so far ahead of Ohio State right now. And that'd be a big jump for Ohio State to jump them for beating Michigan while OU had beaten West Virginia. That's a pretty big jump, unless Ohio State blows them out. So playoff scenario. Alabama's in the playoffs. Agree or disagree? No matter what happens, Alabama's in.
Oh, no matter what, I think Alabama's in the playoffs.
And I'm saying they're going to beat Auburn, and they're going to beat the Citadel this weekend. And I'm going on a limb by saying they're going to beat the Citadel. But I think they are. Here's why I think Alabama's in, no matter what. Now, I've argued with Jim all year. I argued with Jim. It's like, no, if they don't win the conference title game, they're not in. I argued with them. And Jim said, they're Alabama, they're going to get in. I don't think they're getting in because they're Alabama. I think they get in because of how they played. If you flash back to 2003, gosh, I don't know if you remember this season. That might be before your time, is it?
Yeah, I don't remember Alabama 2003. Things.
No, it wasn't Alabama. It was OU.
Oh, yeah.
In 2003, and most people listening to this show, if you're listening, just go back to 2003. I know a lot of you listening to this. Oklahoma was called the best team of all time. There's a lot of people saying that. They're undefeated going in the conference championship game against Kansas State, a team that they had beaten a couple weeks earlier. L. Roberson was hurt. He was their quarterback at the time. And people were saying, even if Oklahoma loses, I think they're in the BCS title game. Remember, there's only two teams at that time that made it to the championship game. It's between LSU, USC, OU. And OU got smoked. They lost 35-7. Darren Sproles rolled all over them.
I remember this game. Yes.
And what happened? OU still got in the national championship game. Why? Because they had blown everyone out all the way through that season. That was the year they beat OSU like 52-9 when OSU was ranked. They smoked Texas, who was another ranked team. They beat Nebraska pretty bad. I think they played Nebraska that year. And people were talking about how they're the best team ever when they lost the conference championship game and they still made the title game and then lost to LSU in the title game. It was a close game, but they lost. I think it's the same way. I think Alabama's kind of the same way at this point, because they've beaten everyone so badly. The closest game Alabama's played was 24-0.
Yep.
I don't care if it's Mississippi State. Alabama is the second-best offense in the country, and they're a top-5 defense in the country. That's the best team in the country. They're really, really good. And people can sit there and talk about, Alabama ain't played no one. Well, it's hard to play anyone when you're Alabama because you're so good. Everyone looks so horrible. They beat LSU 29-0. You can't tell me LSU's a bad team. I'm sorry. I won't hear it.
I think LSU is really a really good team, and when Alabama embarrassed them like that, I was impressed, and I became an Alabama fan for this year. And
you should be. You don't have to be an Alabama fan, but you can say, hey, that's a really good team. That is a good team. And you know what? It's okay to admit that. I think I was wrong about Bama. I think they're in the playoffs just about no matter what they do, And the interesting scenario is going to be if Georgia beats Bama, Georgia's in. Say Clemson wins out, they're in. Michigan wins out, they're in. Now it's between Bama, who didn't win the SEC, and Michigan for the final spot. I kind of think Michigan gets left out. I know that conference championship's a tiebreaker, and I've said it all the time. I think Michigan might get left out in that scenario. And if you're an OU fan, for OU to get in, they need Michigan to lose. That's basically it. Notre Dame loss might do it. I would not be surprised if Notre Dame were to lose this week to Syracuse or USC next week, if Notre Dame fell all the way to like 7 and then Ohio State jumped them, you know, if it's before the Michigan game, and even Washington State jumped them, that way they can kind of, the committee will be able to leave them out the next week because Notre Dame doesn't have a conference title game.
Nope. No, they don't.
So it could hurt them. Next segment, I got to get on Mike Gundy and Major Applewhite. I mean, some of the things they said just drives me crazy. This is Quick Hits with the Missile, beyond till 11 a.m. Listen to Sports Animal. That's right. Tonight, OU postgame show on Alice 96.9 FM. Unsportsmanlike conduct comes up next at 11 a.m. Right now, it's Quick Hits with the Missile. I am the Latvian Missile, Josh Kopelman, Tyler Moore, my producer, back in studio. And one of the guys, by the way, I will be taking phone calls 460-WWLS as we go. As we go, but it'll start up mostly next segment, 9:45. But I will be taking them as you go. So if you want to call in the segment, you disagree with me on something with the SEC, Mike Gundy, or if you want to talk Thunder, I will be talking at 10 o'clock. I'll be talking about something, the Thunder, that's something pretty good for Thunder fans that are, you're going to like to hear it, but no one's said it yet. And it's not something obvious, something you don't think about. You ready for it, Tyler? You excited to hear it? It's going to be at 10 o'clock.
So I am. I'm interested. I'm very interested in what you're going to say.
Exactly. Right now, though, so within Sports Black Conic next, one of the stars, one of the four stars of the show, five stars of the show, is Spinozzi. My guy Spinozzi. Every day we come in, always talk with him. I get a very good gauge of how Thunder fans are treating the Thunder because Spinozzi goes way up high when they win and way down low when they lose. He does it with all the teams. He's a good, solid fan. But one of the things Spinozzi did for me is when I come on here, he doesn't like to attack people. So he gave me a sounder for when I can attack people. And it's coming up with Mike Gundy. And Mike Gundy, this is from Tuesday, his press conference. Tyler, I believe you heard this as well, right?
Yes, I've heard this press conference.
And you're on my side of this. And so what I want to get at with the Mike Gundy thing is what I really want to do is I want you people out there to kind of listen to what he says before I tell you why I don't like it. I mean, it should be pretty obvious. But kind of think about why I disagree with Gundy and what he says that's just like, why are you saying that, dude? Think about this. Let's go ahead and roll.
Well,
just
I think
about
we live in a world where people are non-committal. We allow liberalism to say, hey, I can just do what I want and I don't have to really be tough and fight through it. And you see that with young people because it's an option they're given. We weren't given that option when we were growing up. We were told what to do. We did it the right way or you go figure it out on your own. In the world today, there's a lot of entitlement. I'm a firm believer in the snowflake. I think it's setting there. And I'm not talking about Tabo. Tabo and I have had multiple good talks. I'm talking about every millennial young person, Generation Z, I think is what they call them. That's the world we live in because if they say, well, it's a little bit hard, then we say, okay, well, let's go try something else versus, hey, let's bear down and let's fight through this. So you see a lot of that nowadays.
There's like four things in there that Gundy said that are just so asinine. And Tyler, I know you feel this way. In full disclosure, I'm 29 years old. I'm in the generation he's talking about. I know there's people that are way older than me and listening to this. And when I say this, I know your point of view is going to be something along the lines of I can kind of see it when I look at younger people like Tyler. I can see, man, I don't get why you guys do that or anything like that. But the one thing I'll never do is just say something in all my time in radio, no matter how long it is, if it's only like another year, if it's 50 years. In all my time of radio, I'm never going to sit there and say the younger generation is just different these days. They don't get it. Because you're ignoring what you were like back in the day, right?
Yep, that's right. I mean, whenever we were in school, we even got told that. And we actually, we had a class where we got to argue that. And I think that, like, our generation is, I mean, it seems like we're a little softer, but we're also making way more advances in anything else than other generations have and previous.
Well, that's the opposite way, which you just said. I'm glad you said it too, because it works both ways, where it's like, well, our generation just smarter, more advanced. We couldn't have the advances without the generation before. They were making a ton of advances too. It's just, it's not new to us. So the reason why, the thing I'm not happy with again, people are non-committal. You want to know who's non-committal? How about Mike Gundy? How many times was he sitting there talking about Tennessee, maybe going to Baylor? People are non-committal. You weren't committal, Mike. I don't get why you're talking about that. People these days aren't committal. Did no one transfer in the 80s? I don't believe that. Mike Gundy decommitted from OU and went to OSU. As well, in my day, you weren't allowed it. If you were, you'd be able to transfer easier. Everyone would have done that. And I think it's just a lot, not trying to understand the younger generation. I'm not sitting there trying to rip the older generation and say, these guys are always wrong, or they get this generation wrong, or they don't understand kids these days, or they want to complain about something. But they're complaining about something that they're also doing. They're being hypocrites. It's something that they did. Mike Gundy isn't even committed to the OSU program the whole time. How long is it going to be before he tries to get another job? How long do you think it's going to be? 2-3 years? He's been doing it all the time. He's not committal either. And he's talking about his players not being committal. There's lots of entitlement now. What do you call trying to go to another job to try just to get more money to make yourself happy?
Non-committal.
Yes, that's non-committal, but that's, isn't that a little bit of entitlement? Is that not there for you either, Mike? It's just the players? The players that you're mad at that they're transferring? People don't like being told what to do. You're telling me 20 years ago, players were always like, never talked back. Are you telling me 40 years ago, players never talked back to coaches? I don't believe it. Because you can go back to a newspaper article any year. You can go back to like the 50s, the 40s. You know what it's going to say in there? Kids these days like to talk back. They don't like to listen to coaches. It's going to say that anytime. And Mike Gundy is out here saying, well, these days, it's just these kids these days. No, you're doing it too. Kids don't like to be told what to do. Who's Mike Gundy's boss? Do you know? Yeah. Athletic director at OSU. Who is it? You know his name?
I do not know
Mike
his name.
Holder. Mike Holder. Mike Holder. Does Mike Gundy get along with Mike Holder?
I think we saw that earlier this year.
Does Mike Gundy listen to everything Mike Holder does? No. But it's just the players these days that don't get it. It's just the players. It's not just Mike Gundy. And you know what? I'm going to talk about Major Applewhite in just a minute or so. But you know what else? It might not be the smartest thing just to say somewhere just because, oh, I got to fight through this and just be a backup quarterback. You know what? Taylor Cornelius, he did it. He fought through it. He didn't transfer. Just kids these days, just not Taylor Cornelius, though. He wanted to be an OSU Cowboy. He never knew he was going to get a chance to start. Heck, when Mason Rudolph made his first start, Cornelius was the walk-on. He was next in line after all those injuries they had in, I want to say that was 2015.
Yeah, when they had the two quarterbacks. And
was it 2014? Because that's when the punt return happened.
Oh, yeah.
And they brought in Mason Rudolph. They burned his red shirt.
Didn't let him play in Bedlam.
Because with 3 games left, and that was before, you know, they didn't have the new rule now, you can play 4 games. They burned his red shirt because they didn't want to play Cornelius. And Cornelius stayed at OSU, and he's still there. And he's still there today, and he's their starting quarterback now. He fought through it. So not everyone does quit, Mike Gundy. So I just thought, I mean, it's so ridiculous just to say, oh, people these days are noncommittal. You're not even committed. There's just lots of entitlement these days. What are you? You're part of it, man. So don't just say it's the players these days, it's the kids these days. It's everyone. It's everyone. And it's always been like that because I can go look in the newspaper and sit there and see, oh, kids these days, or something along the lines, players don't like to listen now. I guarantee you, you can find some random article in the 50s talking about that. or talking about how players were played harder back in the day when I was coaching. You could see that in the 30s. You could see that in the 50s. Things change, and it's something that they always, coaches always, always, always like to complain about. And I just don't get it. Now, Major Applewhite, he did something on Thursday night that I thought was just, I thought it was a little petty. I get it's a rule. But Major Applewhite, he talked about it after the game. And just kind of think just why, I don't know why he even bothered doing this. But here's, he explained. So what he did was, Ed Oliver had a jacket on, a heavy jacket on. Ed Oliver's wearing a sweater and pants. And Major Applewhite has a rule that unless you're playing in the game, you can't wear the heavy jacket. Which, okay, that's kind of stupid. Well, Ed Oliver had it on. Applewhite told him to take it off. Oliver said no. They got in a screaming match. And here is what Major Applewhite said why he did it.
We just have a rule on the sideline that guys that are participating in the games, and specifically starters, you know, that they have jackets so they can stay cool. And, you know, as a coach who's coached and played for years, you know, you don't want 1,000 guys in a jacket when it's only 50 degrees outside. You want guys to stand up, be off the bench, and be tough. And Ed had one, so I asked him to take it off because I don't want to be unfair and unequal to the other guys. And, you know, I got emotional.
How does that make you tough, not having a jacket on? I think that's just one of those false equivalencies that people love to say. They're like, oh, they just need to be tougher, not wearing a jacket. They were up 31-9 when this happened at halftime. Did you know that? It was 31-9 at halftime when it happened. It's a stupid rule that he needs to be changed. I get that you want everyone to follow it. But there's one little thing with Ed Oliver.
He's really, really good.
He's the best player on the team. And you know what?
And we treat star athletes better because they're better people.
They're not necessarily better people, but they help you out more. And I'm pretty sure Ed Oliver's done for the year at Houston. He just wants to go to the NFL draft because they really have nothing to play for anyway. Not that they're ever going to get a chance to play for anything at U of H. But the thing is, athletes get treated differently. Star athletes, I know coaches always want to say, we want to treat these guys equally. I mean, not really. Say you're running a company, Tyler, or you know, the listener's running a company. And me and Tyler are both salespeople. And Tyler's bringing in twice as many sales a year. Now, say Tyler is got a big ego. I know. I got the bigger ego. It's okay. We can just pretend. He's just got this huge ego. He's a diva. He's hard to deal with. He's constantly out sick. He doesn't want to make sales calls ever. But he still does really, really well selling him. Now, say you got me, and I'm just a hard worker, and I do everything right in sales. I make all the calls. I constantly work. Who are you gonna treat better, me or Tyler? You'd like to say me, right?
I would like to say you.
But you're going to treat Tyler better. Why? He makes you more money. It's that simple. And star athletes get preferential treatment.
Yeah, the only time I turn on a Houston game is to watch Ed Oliver. So.
Right. Well, I mean, Ed Oliver's the star of the show. Exactly. He's the one player you can name on that team. I guess I can name two. Derek King's pretty good at quarterback. But that's kind of the thing. They get treated differently. And the rule of just not being able to wear a jacket on the side, a heavy coat on the sideline is ridiculous. It's cold out there. And I'm from Houston, so, and I will talk about the mellow thing coming up in the next hour. So I want you to think about this, Tyler. 50 degrees here is different than 50 in Houston.
Yeah.
I grew up thinking 55 degrees was cold. Okay? So it's a little different. It's really cold out there. So I thought Applewhite, I mean, that's a rule he should not have. I thought it was just absolutely just asinine for him to do that. I mean, it's his best player. I guess if Ed Oliver's not there, it doesn't really matter. But you treat your best players better. I'm sorry. I know people that makes you mad, and people are screaming at the radio, Missiles, you treat everyone the same. No, you don't, dude. People that help you out, that make you more money, are the ones you treat better. That's sorry. That's just how the world works. I'm sorry. Next, I got a controversial take on Kyler Murray versus Baker Mayfield. Also, phone calls, will take them as they come in. It's Quick Hits with the Missile. I'll be on until 11 a.m. Welcome back. Quick Hits with the Missile. I'm the Latvian Missile, Josh Kopelman. Be on till 11 o'clock when unsportsmanlike conduct takes charge with all the crazy morning animals. Also, a reminder that the OU postgame show tonight will be on 96.9. The pregame show will be right here, and you'll hear a lot about the weather. because Kansas football is terrible. And I guess Les Miles, too. That's an interesting topic. By the way, if you want to call in 460-WWLS, I will be taking phone calls as soon as we go. If you're too gutless to call in, feel free. If you're too gutless to talk to me on the air, feel free to call in and tell my producer, Tyler Moore, that I'm an idiot. Yeah, I talked about it. I'm not trying to make this a generational thing because the younger generation does it too. They don't try to understand the older generation. And Mike Gundy clearly doesn't want to try to understand his players. He's just frustrated that they're leaving. So he sits there and calls them noncommittal, even though he does the same thing. Now I got some controversial takes here. And I think we're going to be on the opposite side of things, Tyler.
I think we are.
Because Tuesday on the Monsters of the Midday, and I produced the show, Dusty Dvorak said, Kyler Murray is better than Baker Mayfield as a college quarterback right now. And when he said that, I kind of felt robbed. Took my thunder away. Because I was going to say that this week on this show. I was ready for it. And actually, I think I saw it also. Actually, I wouldn't have been the first one to say it. I saw it on the Pistols Firing blog. I think Kyle Porter did it. You know, they do pretty good recaps for OSU stuff. You want to catch up on your OSU stuff. He had something on there where he said something along the lines of that he thought Murray was better than Mayfield. And I agree with him. Here's why. And you can make the case. I'll let you make the case for Mayfield. And if you guys, you know, you think I'm an idiot, that's fine. I don't really care. I'm just telling you what I think is true, how I think it is. But look at this for Kyler Murray. Here's his stats this year. 247 attempts. He's completing 70.9% of his passes, 3,038 yards, 12.3 yards per pass, 32 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Baker Mayfield Heisman Trophy, 404 passes, and Kyler Murray's not going to get up there. You know, Kyler Murray has 3 more regular season games, actually probably about 4 more games. He'll get to about, 247 right now. So he'll throw about 25 passes against Kansas because you don't need to throw the ball that much against Kansas. And probably about 30 against West Virginia. And maybe he'll throw about 40 times each time against West Virginia. We'll say that. So that'll be getting to 350, and then he'll probably throw, maybe he'll get close, probably throw, you know, 35 times in the bowl game or whatever. He'll have less than 404 attempts, though. But Mayfield completed 70.5% of his passes, 71% in 2016, if you want to use that. Threw for 4,627 yards, which is an 11.5 yards per play average, 43 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. 43 touchdowns is catchable. Murray will end up throwing more picks. But the biggest thing, the difference of why I'm Team Murray on who's the better quarterback, is because the rushing stats. Like, imagine you're an opposing team, and some of you are OSU fans and you saw this last week. If you're an OU fan, imagine that you're a Kansas fan this week. Imagine you're a West Virginia fan because you're a Kansas fan. I mean, are you really watching the game? Let's be real. Imagine you're a West Virginia fan. Think about it from their point of view. Kyler Murray is averaging 6.7 yards per carry. He has 640 yards rushing this year and 7 rushing touchdowns. It puts him at 39 total. It's only 4 off the pace Baker Mayfield had in his season. Actually, it's Baker Mayfield had 5 rushing touchdowns, so it's only 9 off the pace. With 3 games to go, he's only had 9 less touchdowns than Baker Mayfield. But Murray is so good at accounting or at running the football that I think he's past Baker Mayfield. And I came in there, I'm the guy that came in here dead wrong saying that there's no way he's going to be able to pass this good. He might be a good passer, but there's no way he's going to be better than Baker Mayfield passing because Baker Mayfield's passer rating was 198.9. And Baker Mayfield completed 70.5% of his passes. That's unheard of. Kyler Murray's completed 70.9% of his passes. And with the rushing attack, I think he's better. Now, he's probably not going to win the Heisman because Baker Mayfield didn't have to go against Tua. And Tua is just an amazing player. And that's quite a race. But I got Kyler Murray. He's done it. He surpassed Baker Mayfield. Now, that could change the last 3 games. But I think Dusty's right. I think Kyle Porter was right as well. Kyler Murray's the better player.
I just think college football-wise, that Baker, like, college football is so much on passion, and Baker Mayfield was the most passionate player out there. And so every time he stepped up on the field, he just brought an energy that Kyler's a great motivator, but he's just no Baker Mayfield. And their stats are almost similar. So you have to look at the intangibles. And I think that Baker Mayfield's got him beat there.
See, you're going with the intangibles. I'm going with the tangibles. How do you know that, Kyler Murray isn't a leader? You don't think Kyler Murray is out there that his teammates love what he does? You don't think his teammates are confident that, hey, you know, if we don't get open on this play, Kyler Murray's still going to run for a first down? The offense like, hey, if we just block, all we got to do is give him a decent block. He'll make the guy miss.
I think he's a better athlete than Baker Mayfield.
Way better athlete.
Yeah, but as a college quarterback, I don't think he's near as good as Baker Mayfield was. I mean, I think he's right up there. I think he's like right a step below him, but he's a step below him.
Okay. I mean, that's a fair argument. I mean, I know I'm on the minority side right here with picking Kyler Murray. I just think just because he can throw so well, he throws a good deep ball. I did not expect that at all.
I did not expect Kyler Murray to
good
be this accurate.
Good pass. Exactly. And he's so good at running the football. I think that steps up. And Baker Mayfield was really good at running the football and avoiding sacks. But I just think Murray's past him. I think Murray's past him. All right, I told you we're going to take our phone calls. We're doing it a little different on this show. I want you to say your name when I bring you on the air, and then I want you to say what school you root for. So for me, or what school you graduated from. So for me, it'd be like Josh Kopelman, University of Oklahoma. And get right into the phone call. You ready for it? First up, we're going to go to Derek. What's going on, Derek?
Hey, man, this is Derek. I root for the University of Oklahoma.
What's your question today?
Hey, I was wanting to make a comment on what you said about Major Applewhite and how he handled that situation with his star player.
All right, go ahead.
I want to preface this by saying I'm 29 years old.
Okay.
I'm a business owner.
Okay.
I've got about 10 guys that work for me.
All right.
If you take, let's say I have my best employee, and I treated him differently, openly around my other employees. That's going to make my other employees feel less than, and it's going to make them upset.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
If I did that openly, unless that one guy can do all the work of all the other guys, I'm going to be screwed because I'm going to make everybody else upset. They're not going to want to work for me. So even though you're right in theory, in practice, you just can't do that. You can't do that openly. Because unless that one player can make up for all the other players, at some point, now maybe not over that one deal, but at some point, they're going to start to get jealous and they're not going to play as hard for you. They're not going to work as hard. So I'm just saying, just because, yes, he is a star player, he does do the best job for you, you can't openly treat him different because the coach is in a leadership role. And being a leader of humans is a hard, hard job, and you got to do everything the same way across the board, or eventually you're going to start to lose all the other players.
Okay, Derek, and you're exactly the kind of guy I want to talk to about this because you run the company. So let me ask you about this. If there's a guy that your top salesman constantly comes in late, what do you do about it? And no one else, everyone else is on time, but the other guy who comes in late, I mean, because you're not going to get rid of him, right? Because he's the best salesman.
No, I have to get rid of him if he constantly does, because that's the rule. Because if I constantly let him break all the rules or come in late and don't punish anybody else for it, if I punish everybody else for coming in late but not that one guy, eventually they're going to go find another job. They're not going to want to work for me. So I'm going to lose my entire workforce over trying to keep one dude. I'm going to get rid of the one dude because I can still be productive with my other people, and I can always hire somebody else who wants to follow the rules.
Okay. I mean, that's a fair argument.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I mean, I get exactly where you're coming from that, like, hey, I can't let anyone else leave. But, I mean, it might be a little different in sports where it's, I mean, it is a fair point. I mean, if the other guys are, no one's going to want to play for you if you're only treating the best players special, that's a fair point. Right. I mean, you also want to make sure that your top guy doesn't leave because, I mean, without Ed Oliver, Houston's not the same team is what I'm saying.
I understand that. And there's fine hairs here and there. And if you're dealing with robots, I'm saying you're completely right. But when you're dealing with humans who have emotions, who get jealous, who see what's going on with other things, it's just not good business. And it's not a smart thing to do on a football team, because if you do that too much and get too used to doing that, eventually you're going to lose your team. They're just not going to want to play for you.
All right. I appreciate the call, Derek. I mean, yeah, that's a valid point. It's a very good point. That's kind of what someone who I'd want to talk to, someone else that manages it. So thanks a bunch for the call. I would still say, I mean, I guess, you know, it's a good point to where you can't let him just run over everything, but I do kind of think that star player is going to get away with a little more.
And it's a jacket. That's the thing. It's just a jacket.
That was a little ridiculous of what Major Applewhite's doing. You got a couple more on the phones. We'll get to that at the top of the hour. I also am going to start talking Thunder. There's a point that I'm going to make next hour that no one's talked about yet with the Thunder. And it's something you're going to love to hear it if you're a Thunder fan. And we'll get back more to the Mike Gundy stuff. Anything else you want to talk about? It's WWLS Game Day. I'm Latvian Missile Josh Kopelman. There'll be more next on the Sports Animal. Welcome back. Hour two of Quick Hits with the Missile. No Mark, no Dusty. Just me. Special Saturday show kicking off your WWLS Game Day coverage. We'll be with you all day long. And Sportsmanlike Conduct coming up at 11 a.m. 12:30 is the OSU pregame with Gideon, Michael, Rashawn. And then 3:30 starts the OU pre- and postgame show. And we'll have postgame, OSU postgame show as well here on the Sports Animal. Also, the Thunder game tonight. They take on the Suns. The OU postgame show will be on 96.9 FM. Alice, 96.9 FM. So you can keep it right here with the Sports Animal all day long for all your WWLS game day coverage. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, I'm going to give you something about the Thunder. I'm going to give you a Thunder statement that you're really going to like, and we're going to talk a bunch of NBA this hour. But first, I do want to go to the phones. Here's how we do it, though. Just state your name, what team you root for, then I play the NBC music, you know, like the player intro. I want to know what team you root for or what college you went to. Either one. It doesn't really matter. No one's going to know the difference before we do that. And then you can come on and you can rip me or agree with me, whatever you want to do. All right. So, True Sooner, you're up, man.
What's going on, Josh?
Not much, man. What team you root? You got to give me your name and what team you're rooting for.
As far as what? I mean, obviously OU, but, you know, Larry, by the way.
There you go, man.
That's
there you
cool.
go. I got True Sooner's real name out there. Now, I've known your real name for some time because you tweeted at me.
I the reason why I took on a name years ago is because I was working at a different place where I couldn't get on the phone, so I wanted to disguise myself, you know. So
that's good.
But anyway,
still sneaking. But
anyway,
on the air.
Yeah. So you got to do what you got to do. But anyway, so. You know, I was listening to you talk about, it's an interesting talk about the discussion about Kyler and Baker.
Yeah.
And kind of the way I look at it is, you know, Baker did it for 3 years and
right.
he's got three conference championships and two Final Fours. And I know that, you know, that does mean a lot right now. Maybe it'll change down the road as far as, you know, maybe Kyler will get a conference championship. Maybe Kyler will get a Final Four. Maybe Kyler, will get a national title. Who knows? Maybe he'll get a Heisman. You know, but the thing about it is right now, that's kind of how I separate them right now because they're so close. But also you got to look at, you know, Baker. Thing about Baker was they always say, you know, no advertising is bad advertising. And he did a lot of things, off the field. He also did a lot of things like, you know, that people like these days. He did a lot of stuff like planting the flag, and Kyler's more of a humble guy, and maybe that hurts him a little bit because maybe Baker sticks out a little more.
It could be, but I mean, that doesn't make you a better player though, right?
No.
I mean, come on.
No.
Does me being off the field, like I could sit here and talk, you know, all the smack I wanted to. It's not going to make me a good college quarterback, is it?
No, but
absolutely
but I mean,
not.
No, but it does make you stay. But you know, your videos are on Facebook a lot more. You're on ESPN a lot more. You're on the news
hype.
A lot more.
That's,
you know
now,
what I mean?
Now let me ask.
I mean,
let me ask you this. Here's the thing: you brought up that Baker Mayfield has more Big 12 titles than he always will. I mean, is there no way Kyler could be a better player without that? I mean, right? What would Kyler have to do, in your opinion, to be better than Baker Mayfield?
Well, I mean, Kyler's also won at Ohio State. I mean, I'm sorry, Baker's also won at Ohio State. He's also won twice, you know, against some pretty good TCU teams. He never lost to Texas, right?
Or did right. Baker lost to Texas the first time they played him, just like Kyler did. But here's the thing with all that. Kyler never had that opportunity. I mean, he should get knocked for that because he never got to play in Columbus, Ohio. He's gonna play in Morgantown. Hang on a sec, Drew. He's gonna play in Morgantown, so he's got a chance for a big win. But again, if they beat West Virginia twice in a row, you're still gonna be looking around, well, where's Kyler's signature win? And you gotta wait for the bowl game for that. And the thing is, to say that he's better, does that mean I have to wait till after the Big 12 title game? Or after the regular season's over? What if OU sneaks into the playoffs and they go to the semifinals? Does that make Kyler better than Baker Mayfield?
I think it all depends on how it goes the next 3 or 4 weeks. I mean,
you're definitely right about that. There is a lot going on. It does matter. It's not the full season. We have full seasons from Baker Mayfield. 3 full years, like you pointed out.
Right.
And we have about 3/4 of the season from Kyler Murray. But I think if your defense, say you're West Virginia, who would you rather have at quarterback for OU? Would you rather face Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray? And I realize either way, OU's going to be in good shape and you're going to be in trouble. Who would you rather face?
I think it's dead even myself. I mean, I wouldn't want to face either one of them. Now Kyler brings an element of running that Oklahoma hasn't had, since probably Charles Thompson.
He does.
As far as the speed goes and stuff like that.
Trevor Knight was a really good running quarterback as well, but he was not this good. I don't know if I've ever seen an OU quarterback that's this fast in my lifetime.
When he turns the corner on a broken play, or not even a broken play, just a called play, when he turns the corner, I've never seen a quarterback, and it's been a long time since I've seen a running back for OU get up the field as quick as he. I mean, once he goes vertical, he covers that 10 or 15 yards faster than any quarterback that I can remember.
I completely agree. I mean, it's kind of like Michael Vick, I kind of think, is what people are thinking. I mean, he does that little stutter on the defensive end, and they just have to stop because if he cuts back, they're going to get him. And then he just keeps running, and he accelerates so fast that no one can tackle him. I mean, it's really it's amazing. I'm just stunned. I knew he was really fast. I am stunned that he is this good. Stunned.
I think it makes it look like. Well, I think we know now that it wasn't. It couldn't have been close in spring practice or in fall practice.
Oh, no chance. No chance. I was saying that before the year. It's not close. There's not a single person covering the team that said it was a quarterback race. It was only Lincoln Riley saying it might be Austin Kendall. That's about it. There wasn't anything else for that. And I appreciate the call, True. Thanks for calling in, and I realize I'm on the minority side, but no, it was not a race at all before the season with Kyler Murray. I mean, you could see how good he is. He's a Heisman contender, and who knows, Austin Kendall might end up being all right, I said this before Kyler Murray came on, I don't think he's going to be a Heisman contender. I don't think Austin Kendall will be, and I think it's going to be impossible to get a third quarterback this good for OU. But, again, I realize I'm on the minority of this. I think Kyler Murray's past Baker Mayfield. I know most people are going to say Baker Mayfield. I get it. You're saying, you're an idiot, Missile. But I'm telling you, if you're playing against OU, you'd rather face Baker Mayfield while he's tough to play and you got to guard the pass and he's such a good passer and he's so good at reading the plays. Kyler Murray's almost as good as a passer, and he might be a better passer, and he's a far better runner, so it scares me more. So I got Kyler Murray on this one.
Yeah, I think it's just how you look at a quarterback. I mean, do you want him to be the ultra-athletic type? But Kyler Murray is also, he doesn't have the, it seems like he's, I don't know if they're the same height, but he definitely seems skinnier, and it seems like a more risk of injury, and you're kind of scared when he takes the big hits, unlike Baker. Seems like he always popped up.
Yeah, it's Murray's got $4.5 million to protect, so
yeah.
I don't blame him for that. All right. We'll take one more call, then I'll get into the Thunder, and then we'll get back to the phones again. So we'll go to Michael real quick. What's going on, man?
Hey, not much. How are you, Missile?
Good, Michael. All right, state your name, what team you're going for.
Michael and Oklahoma Sooners, for sure.
All right, what's your question?
Well, I was going to call in and talk about Major Applewhite, Dale, but I would want to say one thing about the Kyler-Baker discussion. Baker's got kind of a cult-like following of OU fans because he's been there 3 years, and Kyler is at the disadvantage of only been there several games in one season. What I would say is Kyler can make every single throw that Baker could, and what separates them is the athletic ability and running ability of Kyler. So based on one season, just on that, I would say Kyler's the better quarterback as well.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, that's the exact points I'm making. You're with me, man. You're on the short side as well with the less people, but I completely agree. I mean, it's like you said, his athleticism is what puts him apart. And just he's such a good runner. You didn't really call that many running plays for Baker Mayfield, although they did have that draw last year. But you call a lot more for Kyler Murray.
Yes. What I called in about though, there's a guy called in about the he's a business owner, 29 years old, has 10 employees, and said he treats them all the same. What good does it, what incentive does a employee have to be a better one if everybody's going to get treated the same, regardless?
My argument is
I've got a bunch of people in sales, and I got some people that don't even show up to work but have the most sales in the company. I can care less what they do as long as they have the most sales in the company.
That's where I'm at. You're on my side, man. That's kind of where I'm at. Now, I don't know if I'd say I don't care what they do. I mean, there's got to be a line you can cross, but if you're selling way better than everyone, the line is just way more, right? I mean, is that how you do it?
Absolutely, but the line's simple, and it's easy to figure out. When you become a detriment to my company, then I have to address it. If you're not, what your actions are not becoming a detriment to the team, then I could care less what you do. I don't care what time you show up, as long as you get all your sales in and get your stuff done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. That's kind of the way in sports, when you think about it. Say, and I'm not saying that this kid's like bad or anything, but say like your star quarterback, I'll use Kyler Murray as an example. What if Kyler Murray was just bad and constantly getting in trouble? I mean, don't you think Lincoln Riley would be more willing to put up with it, especially than he would with, you know, say Austin Kendall, because Kyler Murray's, I mean, I'm not saying either one of them's bad or either one's really good. I'm just using it as an example. Then say, wouldn't you rather put up with Kyler Murray if he was a diva than you would with Austin Kendall? Because Kyler Murray's a better player, right?
Absolutely. Look at Joe Mixon.
There you go. And that's a tougher line to cross, because, I mean, Joe Mixon, I mean, and you're right. If Joe Mixon wasn't a superstar, there's no way he would have stayed at OU. There's no doubt about that. So, I mean, that's a fair point there.
Making.
Yeah, yeah. I get the point. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a fair point. I mean, Mixon probably crossed the line to where that's it. I can't deal with you anymore. But the only reason,
like you're saying,
the only reason that he was still there was because he was such a great player.
Yes, I would fire my top sales guy for a Joe Mixon type action. I would do that. But what I'm saying is there's different lines for different companies and teams for sure.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate the call. So you're on my side. You're on my side
yes.
of this, Michael. So
yes,
I'm glad
sir.
Someone
Keep
out there agrees
Michael.
With me.
See ya.
All right. Thanks for the call, man. All right. So we'll be getting back to the phones next segment, about 10:20, you can open it back up. But I did want to get some NBA in today. I know it's a college football Saturday. The Thunder play tonight. And there's something different about this Thunder team than the last Thunder team. And Tyler, I'm going to go ahead and bring you on. We're going to go through the standings here. And there's an important point I want to make about this. So the Rockets kind of look like they're back. On Tuesday, things are a little different. When I released my podcast, things are a little different. In that the standings change weekly in the NBA, and the Rockets looked horrible. They've looked a lot better recently. But I want to go through the standings. Golden State, you think they're first place in the West. You think they're real or not?
I think Golden State's real, yeah.
Okay.
No matter what their problems are or not.
That's an obvious one. Second place in the West is the tie between Denver and Portland. Do you buy either one of those teams? Are either one of those teams top two teams?
I buy, not top two, but I buy Portland more than I do Denver.
I would agree with that as well. But if you're saying neither one of those are top two, Houston's 7-7. I mean, maybe they could get number two. Do you think Houston could climb up there?
I think Houston could climb up there. There's still a lot of NBA to be played.
Would you say, if I said you had to bet your next paycheck on this, Houston's going to be the two seed, which side would you say? Yes or no?
I would say no.
That's where I'd be too. So now we're looking at it. Who's next group in the standings? Memphis, the Clippers, and the Thunder. Out of those three, which one do you believe the most as a 9-5 team?
The Thunder.
Exactly. That's kind of the point I'm getting to. So the Thunder might actually be the second best team in the West. I don't think they're much better than last year's team. I think they're about a 49-win team. But maybe they are better. I know Robertson's going to come back, and the defense will be lights out. The Thunder are just so good defensively. It's amazing how good they are defensively. But I think two seed in the West might end up being the Thunder. And here's the difference between last year's team and this year's team. And this is a big one. The old saying, you've heard the old saying, what do good teams do?
They pass and they
no,
they
no,
work
no, no, no.
They
what
work
do good
together?
Teams, who do they beat?
Good teams?
Yes.
And bad
People
teams.
Say that. But you're more likely to have a deep playoff run in teams that are good. And really, 55 wins is the cutoff. No teams won a title less than 55 wins except the Rockets in 95. Minus the strike-shortened seasons, of course. But the thing with the Thunder is, they're not losing to bad teams. Last year we saw them lose to like the Kings, which they did this year. But the Kings actually might be a decent team. That might be a team that's close to 500. They lost on the road to the Mavs. The Mavs are 6-8 now. They're rolling. They blew out the Jazz as well. And I know the Jazz kind of struggled. Good teams don't beat good teams. They do a little bit. But good teams beat bad teams.
And that's something they couldn't do last year.
That is where the Thunder struggle. They lost to the Hornets on the road last year. They lost to, I think they lost a game to the Knicks. This year they blew out the Knicks. I mean, in OKC, they still got to go to New York. But so far, and if you see the Thunder, they keep beating all the bad teams. That's a really good sign for OKC. And, you know, last year I kind of said the same thing. I don't want to be a hypocrite on this. I said that one of the bad signs for the Thunder was that they were losing to bad teams. Everyone kept saying, oh, they just beat the good teams. They just beat the good teams. We win. Good games. We beat good teams. And what happened? They played the Jazz in the playoffs. The Jazz weren't one of the teams they dominated. The Jazz weren't the Rockets. They weren't the Warriors. They weren't the Raptors, the Celtics, who the Thunder talked about dominating. They weren't any of those teams. Were the Sixers? They weren't. And the Thunder lost in the first round. Well, this year, the Thunder aren't necessarily beating the good teams. They have beaten the Rockets. I do think the Rockets will kind of be back up there. And I'll talk about Melo. I know a lot of people want to hear my thoughts on the Melo situation in Houston. I will be getting to that. I'll get into that before phone calls next segment. But the Thunder, as I was going in there, while they haven't really beaten any good teams, they lost to the Warriors this year. I mean, they can't really, I don't think they played Denver or Portland yet, have they? They might have lost one of those. Can't really remember off the top of my head. But the Thunder haven't lost any bad teams. And to me, if you're looking at how much of a contender the Thunder are, that's the main thing. And I get Andre Robertson's out and things are going to change. I don't know if they really can get better defensively. Because it's like I talked about with the Celtics. What did I tell you before the season? The Raptors were the best team in the East. And why I said that is because the Celtics really, even though they're getting Hayward and Kyrie Irving back, they had Kyrie Irving most of the year, but they really, and Hayward's still getting his footing down and everything. He's getting back to the injury, is that it's hard to improve when you're already at the top. Mm-hmm. Even adding it, you know, you add less wins by getting a good player when you're already at the top. So it's the same thing with defense. When the Thunder are second-best team defensively, just by adding Robertson, all they can do is move up one spot. It's hard to get much better defensively. So I don't know how much your defense is going to change when he's back. But, and I said this last time we did a Saturday show, actually, is when the Thunder 0-4, and I said it's just like last year. You know, they'll rip off winning streaks. But they'll also have some losing streaks in there. And the Thunder, they beat New Orleans, Houston, who's pretty good. And the Clippers. They've also lost to the Clippers, Sacramento, Golden State. I mean, Dallas is their worst loss. But at Dallas is not a bad loss at all, I don't think. I mean, Dallas is near a 500 team, and that just happens. They're going to beat a bunch of teams at home. They smoked Utah at home. So what I'm getting at is, while the Thunder, they may not be the 2 seed, I think they might be the favorite for the 2 seed. Golden State's clearly got one, right?
Yeah, Golden State's clearly the number one seed.
I think the Thunder might actually be the favorite for the 2 seed. And real quick, the other point, I want to get into this with you as well. Top four in the West. Who do you think is the four best team in the West? Doesn't matter where they are in the standings now. Give me the four teams.
The four best teams in the West, I'd say the Warriors, the Rockets, the Thunder, and the Pelicans.
All right, Warriors, Rockets, Thunder, Pelicans. That's not a bad choice. I mean, the West is so jumbled up, you can pick any four teams. Who's the best four in the East?
The Raptors, the Celtics, the Sixers, and I'd have to say the Pacers at four.
You have the Pacers over the Bucks?
I got the Pacers.
Not
I
a
like
believer
the...
in Fear the Deer?
No, I'm not a believer in Fear the Deer, even though okay. They're rolling right now.
Well, I got the Bucks over the Pacers, so we're going to use that one, and we'll use your fourth for the West. And which four teams, if we were doing a round-robin tournament, which four teams do you think would fare better, the East or the West?
I think the West would fare better than the East.
You got the West?
Yeah, I've got the...
I think the top four in the West are better than the top four in the East. I think the Raptors are one of the best teams in the NBA. I think they're the second best team in the NBA. I got the Sixers with Jimmy Butler. They might be better than the Bucks now. The Celtics are going to get really, really good, too. I know they're at only 9-6 right now, but they're going to be better. And I know most people would probably say West, but the Warriors are also, they're the best team in the NBA. And then after that, you said Thunder, Rockets, Pelicans, right?
Yeah.
Pelicans are really good. I don't disagree with that, But I might take the Bucks and Celtics over any of those teams, too. I mean, I'd probably take the Raptors over any of them. Bucks, Celtics, and then whoever you got for Pacers or Sixers, too. Sixers with Jimmy Butler's a different team, man. I know they lost to the Magic the first game with them, but stuff like that kind of happens.
I just don't think that. NBA. I don't think Jimmy Butler's going to really mesh with the Sixers just because of the coaching. I think the coaching is bad in Philly, and I don't think that team is going to be very as good as advertised.
Okay, I mean, I disagree. We'll come back on. We'll do this in who knows, February, March. Maybe we'll be on, and we'll talk about that again. But I think the top four in the East is tough. Now the West is tougher from top to bottom. I mean, my gosh, Utah's 7-8, and they're 12th in the West. I mean, the Mavericks are in 14th at 6-8. I mean, 6-8 in the East is the 10 seed. I mean, the East has some decent teams, but it's not nearly as tough. But I think the top four in the East are going to end up being better than top four in the West. And I realize, you know, I'm in the minority of that. But, I mean, I honestly believe it. If I'm betting these games, I bet the Warriors over anyone. But, I mean, if the Celtics played the Rockets or Celtics play the Thunder, I'd have the Celtics favored. I mean, if it was on the road, I might have the Thunder favored over the Celtics, just barely by like a point or two. But I'll tell you what, and I have the Celtics as fourth in the West. I mean, the Bucks, Sixers would be favored over any of those teams, I think, on a neutral court.
Yeah, on a neutral.
I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, the Rockets probably actually be the favorite, but to me, if I was making the lines, I would have it, which means I would be betting on the side of the Sixers, Bucks, or any of those on a neutral court. And I get it. I get that most people probably disagree with me, but I think the top four in the East is better. I think there's some people sitting there thinking about, like, you know what, that crazy missile might be right.
Yeah, there's an argument to be made, but I think at the end of the day, at the end of the season, if they played right now, I'd take the top four in the East. But at the end of the season, when everybody is meshing together, I'd take the West.
That's fair. Hey, I might come out of this looking like an idiot. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The East, they might have teams struggle to win 55 games. Who knows what could happen, but I think the West, I don't know if there's going to be a team win 55 games other than the Warriors. I mean, everyone's going to be so jumbled up, and I think it might even take 50 wins to get in to the playoffs, maybe 48 or so. But there might not be anyone with more than 54 wins besides the Warriors. That's how tightly bunched it is. Man, I got so much more. There's another Thunder point I want to be able to make. I do want to talk Melo. I'll talk about Melo on the other side, and then I'm going to take phone calls. The lines are just lighting up right now. It's WWLS game day. I'm the Matt B. Missile, Josh Kopelman. Next, I'm going to talk about Melo because I know people just been asking me about what I think with Melo and the Rockets, and then I will get to your phone calls. You're listening to 98.1 FM. WWLS, the sports animal. Back. Matt B. Missile, Josh Kopelman with you guys. Quick hits with the missile. 11 o'clock is going to be unsportsmanlike conduct. All the kooky morning animals going to be up there, starting off all the game day coverage. OSU pregame is at 12:30 with Gideon, Rashawn, and Michael. OU pregame with Al and Jim. They'll be cold up in Norman. Last home game of the year for both schools as well. OSU postgame will be here, plus the Thunder game. Thunder Suns be right here on the Sports Animal, which means the OU postgame show with Jim and Al. Football feedback will be on Alice 96.9. There's a cold front coming through tonight, Tyler, so I hope Jim and Al bundle up out there.
I'm sure we'll hear all about it.
Yeah, they're going to be excited about the call. Usually, you up here during football feedback?
I'm not up here during football feedback, but I listen to it quite a bit.
Yeah, they'll be super excited about the Colt. Okay, so I got to get to Melo and the Rockets. I've been asked about this a ton on Twitter.
On Twitter!
People ask me about the Rockets. And the thing with the bad start, I'll say this for Houston, and it came with their stars just weren't playing good. James Harden was not playing like a superstar. He's just playing like a really good player. Like maybe just like a star, not an MVP type level. Chris Paul started out the season, you know, he's at 38% from the field. Now he's up to 40-something percent. He had a good stretch of games recently, as did Eric Gordon. But Eric Gordon's still shooting 32% from the field. Gerald Green's shooting 35% from the field, 25% from three. They were all shooting poorly. All their good players were playing bad. Well, that's what caused this bad start for Houston. It wasn't all Melo, and Melo was terrible, too. He's just not that good of a player anymore. Obviously, he doesn't fit with the Rockets. He doesn't fit with anyone. There is no, I don't really buy, like, oh, this guy doesn't fit the system. I just think they're either a good player or they're not, and Melo's just not a good player anymore. He's a guy that maybe should be getting 10 minutes a night coming off the bench.
Hey, P, they said I got to come off the bench.
Which, of course, as we know with Melo, doesn't really happen. And they were kind of using him as a sham sixth man. He was coming in with 4 minutes into the game, and teams don't do that in the NBA. You do that at the six-minute mark is when you rotate. And generally, if you really want to keep guys like the Rockets like to stagger Chris Paul and James Harden. And the main thing that brought him down was just Chris Paul and James Harden not playing well, plus Eric Gordon not playing well. Those three need to play well for the Rockets to do well, and they have played well the last couple games, and maybe you could say it's the influence of Melo. I just kind of think it was a poor start. So Melo wasn't all his fault that the Rockets weren't doing any good, but he also wasn't the one that turned around, and that's why they got rid of him. Because, Melo, why keep a guy that's not going to help you out when you don't really need him? And I guess they haven't waived him. They're still going to try to find a trade for him, but if anyone trades for him, they're insane. Which, by the way, what a steal Dennis Schroeder was for the Thunder.
Yep, Dennis Schroeder was a steal.
What a steal. He has been awesome this year. He's running the second unit well. And you want to know the most important thing about Schroeder? And Raymond Felton's kind of struggled this year as a third-string point guard. But the most important thing Dennis Schroeder can do for the Thunder, you want to know what it is?
What is it?
Be excellent trade bait.
Yep.
The Thunder are one player away from title contention. Okay? I'm willing to admit that. They're one player away from title contention. And if Dennis Schroeder keeps lighting up like this, I know you're going to want to keep him, and you love what the bench unit's doing. But if someone like Otto Porter becomes free in Washington, and maybe you might even wait, maybe you want to pull the trigger on someone a little better, but I kind of think that might be the peak of what Schroeder can get.
I mean,
he's basically a salary dump for Melo. If you can do that, the Thunder are contenders right there. I mean, you don't have to worry about Robertson being 100% healthy on your team. You don't have to worry about playing Robertson all that much if you get a guy like Otto Porter because he's such a good defender. I know Otto Porter's more of a four, but he can defend the wings as well, and he's a really good shooter. And the Thunder, their problem right now is the shooting. That's their biggest, right?
The three-point shooting, I feel like, is the biggest problem that they have.
Biggest weakness is outside shooting, exactly. So they need to get a shooter. But Schroeder can get you a superstar if he keeps playing this well. He can be the key piece. Like, remember, what was the key piece in the James Harden deal? Kevin Martin.
Yep.
Kevin Martin, because the Thunder weren't losing James Harden's scoring when they got Kevin Martin. Well, it's the same thing. If a team's trading away a superstar, they're not losing anything by getting Dennis Schroeder. That could be key for the Thunder. Dennis Schroeder could be a key trade piece, and that's why it's such a huge deal for Presti. Not only did they not lose, I know Melo wasn't the best player, but he still had some production last year. They did not lose the production, but they also got someone that helps them out. He's actually been a lot better than Melo. Dennis Schroeder's been really good. He's an important part of the Thunder. And he's not always going to keep playing this well. He'll struggle like he did early in the season. But that's big. That was a huge trade for Presti. And I think Dennis Schroeder could be trade bait down the line, especially if he keeps playing this well, if the Thunder are looking at a superstar.
What do you think about Kyle Korver?
Korver,
not
for Schroeder. Maybe Kevin Love. I don't know if Kevin Love's kind of lost some value as well. But, you'd like to get a guy like Korver if you could. I don't know how they swing it. They do need a shooter. If they're not going to get rid of Schroeder, you only trade Schroeder for a superstar. And if you're not going to get rid of Schroeder, then you'd want a shooter as your next line. Schroeder's only gone for a superstar. So I would not get rid of him unless you're getting an absolute no-doubt star. Real quick, back to the Rockets. Do I think, with their 3-1 in the last four games, and I kind of think they're about the same type of team as the Thunder. They're about neck and neck. So the people that told me before the season that, the Rockets lost too much, Thunder are going to be better, I think you might end up being right on this one. Last year I was dead right, which is obvious, but this year I think you might be right for the wrong reasons. Earl Clark's been a real nice player for the Rockets. Getting rid of Melo, they'll turn things around, but also the team that started out the year 4-7 or whatever it was is still there.
Yeah.
The Rockets aren't going to be able to. They'll have some nice stretches, but they'll also have some pretty bad stretches throughout the year. They're not winning 65 games or even 60 again. I think they'll be about the same as the Thunder. All right, I want to get back to the phones. We'll do phone calls the rest of the hour up until Sportsmanlike Conduct at 11 o'clock. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to say you're on the Sports Animal, and when I do that, you're going to hear like a little whooshing sound if you're on the line, like whoosh, gets like quiet. That's how you know you're on the air. I want you to state your name, what team you're rooting for. So let's go ahead. You're on the Sports Animal.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going? What's your name?
Braxton.
Braxton. And what team are you rooting for today?
OU.
All right, man. How old are you?
10.
10 years old. All right. What's your question today, Braxton?
Will Kyler Murray stay at OU for one more year?
I don't think here's the thing, man. I don't think he's going to because it's in his contract to play baseball with the A's. And now people are saying there's a chance he could go to the NFL draft. And a lot of things, as you get older, or, you know, your dad, your mom and dad might be able to tell you this, money plays a big factor in a lot of things. And I think with him getting all that money for baseball, I think it means he's not going to come back. You want Kyler Murray to come back?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead.
He could, if he gets drafted, he could get a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. In the NFL draft, and he might go to the NFL draft as well. That's what they're talking about because it's more money as well. So, I mean, that's a good point, my man. So what do you think about, you think OU's going to win today?
Yes.
Absolutely. They're gonna crush Kansas, right?
Yeah.
All right, my man. Well, thanks a bunch for the phone call, Braxton.
You're welcome.
All right. See ya. Call back in. Let's go up to next. You're on the Sports Animal. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mitchell, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. State your name, Jeff, and who you're rooting for.
The Sooners.
All right. There we go. Everyone's a Sooner fan today. It's all Sooner fans calling in. I know, yeah. Jeff, you call in quite a bit.
Yeah,
I recognize your voice right away. Plus, Tyler has the names up, so I can see it. So, what's your question today?
Well, you say like the game at halftime, like 42-7. Does Lincoln take all these starters out? I mean, keep them, getting somebody hurt?
I would think so. I think it'll be mid third quarter. I mean, that's the kind of thing. That's the difference we've seen. That's kind of a good point there. We've kind of seen this from Lincoln more so than Bob Stoops. Is he's willing to pull his starters a lot earlier, right?
Yeah,
Kansas State, Jeff. Like, do you remember this, when he pulled his starters?
You just all it does sometimes is get somebody hurt. You know, when you keep playing, that's what you do. I would think so.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you, Jeff. I mean, here's the thing too. Let me ask you something. The next thing, so Baker Mayfield won the Heisman last year. Kyler Murray's in a pretty tight race with Tua Tagovailoa, and Tua is in the lead right now. I think that's just naturally the way it is, and Kyler might not be able to catch him. But if you're Lincoln Riley, how much do you want him to pad his stats for the Heisman? I mean, would you do that? Would you say, hey, I want to try to get Kyler the Heisman, pad his stats? I mean, obviously you can't let him play the fourth quarter if it's 55-3 against Kansas. But, I mean, isn't that something you'd think that Lincoln Riley might be thinking about that? But other than that, like, I would think...
Yeah.
That's the only way I can see Kyler Murray playing the fourth quarter this game. There's no reason. If Kyler Murray's playing the fourth quarter, either Lincoln's making a big mistake or OU's just playing awful.
Yeah, I'm with you. So I see where Rodney Anderson has declared for the NFL draft.
Yeah, and good for him. He's been hurt twice. Right. He's missed a season twice in his career. I think in 4 years, maybe in 3 years.
I don't blame him. I mean, I don't blame him a bit. So,
You got to get the money. You got to get the money. I know people talk about the scholarships, but you can make the NFL team, you can put in your contract where the NFL team will pay off your college or just, you know, set aside money from that to pay off the rest of your schooling. And Anderson, if I'm not mistaken, he's a redshirt junior. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's got one more year, I think, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, if he's a redshirt junior, he might be pretty close to graduating already, so it might not even be that much for him to finish college.
I've got
college.
One more question, Mitchell, and I'll get off here. Who is the numbskulls that scheduled that game for 6:30 tonight? I could not believe that when that time come out.
Yeah, I could. I was expecting 11 a.m. for Kansas,
too.
Or at least hoping for 2:30. I really think it's just the SEC doing all these games where it's just, garbage opponents. None of them are playing late, and that opens up like the ESPN window. This game on ESPN? It's ESPN or Fox?
I think it's on
Fox.
It's
a nice day right now, but it's not going to last. Don't sound like for that long.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, either way, so Fox is a little different. All right, thanks for the call, Jeff.
Thanks, Mitchell.
No problem, man. So Fox is a little different. They have just Big 10, Big 12, and Pac-12. You have certain windows you can put it in. And the SEC is also only available on ESPN. Well, when they're not playing ESPN games tonight on the SEC, that leaves other conferences to fill it, like the Big Ten or the Pac-12. I haven't really looked at exactly who filled what, but Fox did not have a good choice of games today. Let me look. Let me look at the the schedule tonight, and they did not have a good pick because there just weren't that many. Like, the CBS game is Tennessee-Missouri. And for some reason, it keeps giving me the SEC schedule, so that's why I'm kind of stalling out here.
And
the
I mean,
Fox didn't have a lot to pick from. They have a Big Ten game in there. Yeah, I don't know why. The schedule's not loading today. Anyway, but they did not have a good slate to pick from, so it was kind of just like, all right, let's pick the biggest school, and Oklahoma has Kyler Murray, so you can kind of make something of that with Kansas. I know it's going to be a blowout, and that's probably not the game you wanted. I don't know why OSU-West Virginia is not the late game. That's going to be the game of the day. And also, Iowa State-Texas being on the Longhorn Network kind of hurt it, so that's kind of why. But OU fans catching a break. Last home game of the year is a 6:30 kickoff, so Campus Corner will be a lot better. And OSU fans, 2:30 kicks, not too bad either from Stillwater. We will have the OSU pregame show at 12:30, OU countdown to kickoff at 3:30, and Sports for That Conduct's at 11. But right now, it's Quick Hits with a Missile. Taking phone calls the rest of the night. Your thoughts on OU, OSU, and actually, should we go to Barry Trammell? Does he have a point on this? The legend, Barry Trammell, one of my favorite segments to listen to on my way home is Barry Trammell with Traber and Al, so I'm honored to have you on, Barry. What's going on?
I needed to vote. I needed to vote in your poll.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it. On the Murray versus Mayfield?
Iowa State.
Oh, Iowa State.
I'm with the Cyclones today.
You're taking the Cyclones to win?
No, you're asking who do you want to win? Who are you cheering for today? I'm cheering for Iowa State.
There you go. Why are you cheering for Iowa State?
Well, I just, you know, they're playing Texas is the main reason.
That's
but
it?
No, I wanted to, hey, was that you last night I heard on the animal calling the McGinnis Bishop Kelly game?
That was me. That was me and Jeff Couch, absolutely.
Well, I stand here and salute you. Because that's some late night duty in Tulsa and then some early morning radio. I like that kind of work ethic. I was at the Chesapeake until about 2 a.m. covering the boxing.
Oh, yeah. How did that go?
Well, it was not. It ended poorly. Saucedo lost by technical knockout in the seventh round, but it was an entertaining fight.
Oh, yeah. I bet the crowd energy had to be really, really good with Saucedo at the peak.
It was. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. Lots of action. Lots going on. But he probably won. In fact, he was ahead on one of the judges' cards into the seventh round. But then he just got caught, and that happens.
So he had a cut that couldn't bleed out, or that bled out too much, or what?
Yeah. Well, he got hit and he got knocked down, or virtually knocked down, and the blood started flowing, and then he couldn't see, and the guy started flailing at him, and the ref jumped in, which I'm glad he did.
Man.
So it was disappointing, but everybody, it was a good fight, and everybody had a good time, I think, and we were very pleased. He acquitted himself very well, but I wanted to, I'm already back on my way to Stillwater, but I wanted to salute you because I like the work ethic of a late night Friday and the early morning Saturday, so.
Well, thank you very much, Barry. It's a lot of fun tonight. Really quick, me and Tyler, I guess we haven't even given our OSU-West Virginia pick. Going to have to do that next segment. Who you got, OSU-West Virginia?
Well, I picked OSU because I need, you know, I pick a Big 12 upset special every week.
This was
absolutely the only game you could pick because Baylor-TCU is a virtual toss-up, Texas-Iowa State, a virtual toss-up, and I'm not picking one of the Kansas schools.
So that leaves
OSU West Virginia. So I took the Cowboys. You know, I don't know. Mike Gundy put on his Make America Great cap this week. Maybe today he's put on his Make State Great Again cap. So we'll see.
All right, we'll see what happens. Thanks for calling in, Barry. Appreciate it. Have a good trip to Stillwater.
Keep it up, Missile.
All right, thank you very much. It's Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman on his way up to Stillwater for the West Virginia OSU game. And that's what I was saying when Jeff called in and said, why is the OU game on at 6:30? Why isn't OSU West Virginia on at 6:30? I think that's going to be an entertaining game. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Plus, we'll take in your phone calls up until 11 o'clock when Unsportsmanlike Conduct starts. This is Quick Hits with the Missile. Welcome back, Quick Hits with the Missile, kicking off your WWLS game day coverage. I'm the Laughing Missile, Josh Kopelman, with you. My producer, Tyler Moore, is in studio. So here's what I'm going to do this segment. Me and Tyler are going to give our OSU West Virginia pick at the very end of the show, right before we get out of here. Till then, nothing but phone calls. So let's do it. Let's get right to it again. What I want you to do, when you call in, state your name, what team you're rooting for. You're on the Sports Animal. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Jay.
Jay, who are you rooting for?
He's in Oklahoma. How you doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well. I'm excited today. I know OU doesn't have much of a game, but still, yeah. it's a lot of fun. College football Saturday is always fun. What's on your mind, Jay?
Well, speaking of the Heisman Trophy, do you think a loss by Alabama would move Kyler closer to be the number one candidate, or put him above the guy if, let's say, Alabama loses a game?
I honestly think that'll put Kyler Murray ahead because they're so close in stats. And the reason why Tua's ahead is the voters, they like to do this, and I'm not saying this is the right way, but they can just point out and say, well, I mean, Tua's leading his team to an undefeated season, Kyler's not, that's how I'm going to separate him. Because, I mean, this reminds me of, are you a Thunder fan, Jay?
I grew up a Spurs fan, and it's hard to leave them, but I'm interested enough to watch the Thunder, but I'm not a big Thunder fan.
Okay, I mean, that's perfectly fine, yeah. But this reminds me of with the Thunder. So if you watch the Rockets Warriors, you watch Clint Capella, you're like, man, that guy is really, really good. He's one of the better centers there is. And then tonight, you're going to watch, if you watch the Thunder, you're going to watch Steven Adams, and you're going to see him dominate Ayton. What's his name? DeAndre Ayton?
DeAndre Ayton.
He's going to dominate tonight, and you're gonna be like, man, there's no way Capella's better than Adams. And then you're going to watch Capella again Sunday night when the Rockets play again, and you're going to be like, wow, there's no way Adams is better than Capella. And it goes back and forth. And it's the same thing watching Tua and watching Murray. I mean, Tua is just so accurate, and he throws guys open. And then you look at Kyler Murray, and it's like the dude is scrambling, making all these plays. He's making all these perfect passes, and it's like, how is anyone better than him? And both times. So I think the undefeated thing's going to be the biggest factor in the Heisman Trophy race.
Right. And speaking of Kansas University, do you think Les Miles takes that job, or are they going to have to make some concessions to him? Or
it's a done deal. They've already said that Les Miles is going to take that job, and I appreciate the phone call. My guess is they probably made some concessions to Les Miles, probably letting him take over a bunch of things. He's probably getting paid a bunch of money because that's not a good program you want to turn around. Even though this is the best season Kansas has had this decade. They're going to go 3-9, and this will be the best one. And they lost to Nicholls State in overtime to open the season. But, I mean, it's no offense to David Beatty. I mean, he was starting to have a little bit of a turnaround. I don't know how many years it would have taken to get to a bowl game. But if you get Les Miles, you got to grab him.
That just helps recruiting also.
You got to grab Les Miles when you have a chance to. I mean, who doesn't want to play for Les Miles? Look what he's done in the Big 12 already with Oklahoma State. He's the one who started their ascension, and Mike Gundy kept it going, and Mike Gundy's now the best coach in the history of the school. They've done a great job. All right, so we're giving up on 2 minutes of the show. Turn it down just a little bit. Playing the fastest 2 minutes music. You remember NFL Primetime?
Yep, I remember NFL Primetime.
It's a great show. It's one of my favorites. So what we're going to do, last 2 minutes of the show, wrap it up. Nothing but the quick hitters. OSU, West Virginia tonight. Tyler, I want your prediction, your score prediction first, and why.
I think West Virginia is going to go in there and they're going to beat him 35-14. I think it's going to be a blowout.
Wow. West Virginia all over. Now, we were on the same side when they played Texas Tech. And what happened? Texas Tech blew out Oklahoma State. We both had OSU.
Yep.
OSU was at home against Texas. We both said OSU was going to win outright. What happened? OSU won outright.
So we're 1-1.
Now you're picking West Virginia in a blowout.
Yes, I am. I'm picking West Virginia big.
You said 35-14.
Yep.
Missile says West Virginia wins this game 38-28. I also got West Virginia covering the spread fairly easily. That might be scary. Last time, remember the first time we agreed? Maybe this is a good sign for OSU fans, because the first time we agreed on one, OSU got blown out, even though we had OSU. So maybe the first time we agree against OSU, they blow them out. But I got West Virginia. I mean, it's too much. I mean, I think OSU kind of played their peak game last week in Norman. And this is kind of like the letdown game. I don't think they're going to play all that well against West Virginia. Plus, West Virginia is going to be so hard to stop. I don't buy that defense.
And I think Mike Gundy's comments, I mean, that doesn't fire up a team, I'm sure. So you would have to just pick West Virginia just off of the attitude of the players.
That's where I'm going. OU Kansas, real quick. You don't need to describe why. Give me a score.
56-10.
Okay, I'll say 62-13. I don't need to say why. All right, we're running out of the show. It's been quick hits and missile. Thanks to everyone who called in, everyone that tweeted. Still follow me on Twitter at Latvian Missile. Tyler, my producer back in studio. That's Tyler Moore doing a good job. Up next, the morning animals with unsportsmanlike conduct. Adinga Spinozzi, Curtis Fitzpatrick, Kerry Murdoch, and the guy with the most talking time on that show, Jim Traber. Thanks again for listening to Quick Hits with the Missile. Turn on the hotkeys.
For having listened to it.
Let's play that again. Thanks for everyone for listening to Quick Hits with the Missile.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Stick with WWLS all day long and Sportsmanlike Conduct with the Morning Animals. Next, I'm the Latvian Missile, Josh Kopelman. You're listening to The Sports Animal.